We're on the road. Where transportation goes, community grows. Welcome to On the Road with the MTA. And welcome to another edition of On the Road with the MTA. I'm Jay Gibbons, accompanied by Stephanie Kay from the MTA. How's Stephanie?
Hey, I'm doing great today, Jay, because the sun is out and I'm loving it when the weather gets so much warmer and you feel like summer is right around the corner. Oh, it just feels so much more promising, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Absolutely.
Well, great. Yeah, we have some promising things in the community. I'm really happy to interview somebody today because they are just amazing people. They remind me of Thelma and Louise. There's two women that do so much for us in this community. They're part of the Autism Support and Resource Center. Now, I don't know if you know of anybody who has autism. I have so many of my friends that have children, grandchildren, loved ones that do have autism. And I like to think of it more as awesomeism because these kids can do so much more than you could ever imagine. Well, the movie Rain Man, we've all seen that. And we've seen how Dustin Hoffman was able to count like none other when he didn't have the other abilities. And they are just amazing people. And so I want to help you introduce Ann Haley. She's the executive director right now. And she is an amazing woman. She has five children, her and her husband, Don. But Anne holds a bachelor's of arts in teaching from Wayne State University. And she has actually been the executive director since 2014. And she herself has a son who was diagnosed with autism at the age of two. Anne, thank you for joining us today, for all you do. And can you tell us, take us through your journey. Let us know how you knew your son had autism at the age of two. That's awfully young. What were the signs? What were the symptoms? And how did you know?
Sure. Thank you so much for having us today, Stephanie and Jay. So in my particular case, and everyone's is always very unique because every situation and every child is unique with autism. But in my particular case, when he was two, some of the first signs that I noticed with him were language not progressing as it was with other two-year-olds. So he did have some words, but just wasn't using them in the same way to communicate and to be social. And so those were some of the first triggers for my particular case. And so, started that journey by, inquiring with his pediatrician, who then, referred me to more developmental pediatricians who could make that diagnosis. And so once David did start on a therapeutic journey, we started immediately with speech therapy, since that was one of his biggest, deficits, and then also applied behavior analysis therapy, which is one of the most well-known and well-regarded therapies for the treatment of autism. And so we've, since that time, he's now 16, have done a variety of therapies, including, like I said, the speech and ABA therapy, as well as occupational therapy and play therapy, and really just making it a family affair too. Just the more support that you can have from the people who live in your house and how to best engage with them and help them is certainly going to be beneficial for any youth with autism.
Now, I do have a friend her son has autism, and he has to have a taco from Taco Bell every single day at 5 o'clock. She has tried to put it in the Taco Bell paper and make her own. She has tried to do everything she possibly can to keep this from being a ritual or, make it easier for her. And he knows. He knows the color of the cheese. He knows if it's not from Taco Bell. He knows if it's not 5 o'clock. I mean, that is just amazing to me sometimes how insightful they can be with some things. And does your son have any of those?
Right. Yeah. Hyperfocus is definitely, a feature of autism that you see in some children. I can't think of anything particular right now, but certainly in thinking back to when he was younger, he was, very particular about, different foods that he would eat in certain times of the day. He went through a little phase, which we sort of thought was funny, unless we were in a hurry to go somewhere, where he insisted on hopping on one foot everywhere.
Reason I ask about this is because I've also learned and researched that certain foods can help with autism. Like if they can put more proteins in there, or I'm not sure what the exact food diet was, but another friend of mine tried with her son and he wasn't as particular about what he ate. So he was a lot more willing to try it. And she said she thought it helped him a lot. Have you heard about the diet helping, or have you tried that?
I haven't in my particular case, but I've heard many positive stories from other individuals who have had success with a gluten-free diet or various supplements. And certainly, you know, I think when you are faced with a diagnosis, you want to try a variety of of available treatments that are out there for you. And so, yes, I've definitely heard of lots of people who have tried those various diets and supplements and have had great success with them.
Well, I just think with technology today, there's so many things new that are upcoming that I'm just hoping for everyone to have help with anything they're doing. And my mother has cancer in her eye right now. I'm just every day praying for more and more vaccines for people with COVID or, you know, other things that are coming up. So I'll keep you in mind, of course. And I know you've had a chance to work with and know Amy Morris, and she's the director of Family and Community Education. Now, Amy had a daughter who was diagnosed at the age of 4 years old, and she has made this her mission to have autism be her focus personally and professionally. And she's with us today. So Amy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
So how did you girls first meet, both of you guys? How did you meet? Was it through this particular organization, or were you mothers and friends first? How'd that happen?
We actually did meet through the organization. I've been involved with the ASRC since around 2010, 2011, and first in a volunteer capacity and being on the board, and then Ann became acquainted with the organization and volunteered on the board, and that's actually how we met. We actually met when she became, we have a funny story, we always reminisce about how we met and knew right away that we would be good friends. And we are very fortunate to be co-workers, but also very good friends and autism moms together. So we're lucky to have that relationship.
The pictures you girls have sent to me are great pictures. You guys do look like Thelma and Louise, and you're doing so many wonderful things for these children and the teenagers with autism. Now, what are some of the best, the most fun programs you guys think that you have put together that help the most with the children?
Oh, gosh, wow. There are so many. We love Power Camp. Power Camp, we say, is the most wonderful 2 weeks of our year. Personally, the two of us, we love Power Camp, but our families plan their entire year around Power Camp. As soon as we have the weeks of Power Camp out, they plan their summer vacations around Power Camp. It's really an opportunity for children and adults up to age 26. We welcome, depending on their developmental level and need, to come to Power Camp. So it's just an opportunity for them to get to feel like for that week or 2 weeks that they get to be and experience the same things that typically developing children and teens do throughout the summer. They get to zip line. They get to go on the water, activities, water jumps in the middle of the lake, paddle boarding, just fun, fantastic camp activities like everybody else who gets to go to summer camp gets to do. And it's so fun as clinicians like ourselves to see them push themselves outside of their comfort zone. And just explaining this to you right now, I'm getting goosebumps. Last year, we moved out on Power Camp. We had to cancel it because of COVID, and it was devastating to us, Ann and I, as much as probably our campers. And so that's probably our favorite. I'm speaking for myself, but for many of our volunteers and our students. But life skills classes, that's a wonderful program, too, that we offer, teaching cooking, cleaning, budgeting, skills that help them to become more independent, and hopefully whatever independence looks like is going to be different for everybody on the spectrum, but everybody can have some semblance of independence, for their future. And power basketball, power soccer, power for us stands for peer outreach with extraordinary results. We're very focused on inclusiveness. So including our peers, our typically developing peers, as supports to our individuals with autism. And we include that in all of our programs. So we have art classes, yoga classes, we have dance classes. So we have lots of great programs. It's really hard to say a favorite, I guess. They're all fantastic.
Wow. It does sound like you have a lot for these children and the young adults, and I bet you they love coming to camp. And it also helps their parents because they get kind of a week off as well. I know a lot of my friends, the one friend I have, her son who has autism, she's a single mom right now. And she said it's so stressful for her trying to handle this, not having any training, not knowing how to, you know, deal with things that she's not been used to. He has to turn all the lights off and on in every single room before we can go to bed at night. And so she knows that routine, but she knows how to handle that. But she'll go out in public and said sometimes he doesn't know how to handle when he gets upset or gets excited. So do you also have programs for the adults at all? Is there anything that you can, don't they have a week they go to the power camp?
Yes, we do. We have, for parents, oftentimes when they come to our socials, we have different social activities for the teens, the children, the adults. You know, so we have opportunities for parents to connect during the social activities. And oftentimes like an online presence where parents, you know, connect, and different platforms for parents to connect and find like a social support system. We are finding we used to have support groups and we weren't finding a lot of participation, and we're finding that parents were reaching out more in an online platform than an in-person platform. And I think that's just kind of indicative of where we are as a society. People are reaching out more online. And but I think that, yes, the camp week is a great time for parents to kind of get a little bit of downtime. But that might be the case with all of our programs. Our basketball programs, our sports programs, parents stay, and we encourage that because that gives parents an opportunity to cheer on their athlete. And that's just an all-around win situation. And we refer to them as athletes because that's what they are. And, you know, so parents can cheer for their athlete, and the athlete loves that, to see their parents in the stands cheering for them.
You guys are amazing. That's so cool.
Thank you. They're amazing. Our participants, our students, they're amazing. We're very, very fortunate to have them to create these programs for.
Well, I cannot wait to share this information with others out there that, like you said, might have, think they have anything under control, but might need a little extra help, or have children, grandchildren, neighbors, loved ones that have autism and can definitely use these wonderful services. And tell us, if somebody is listening or they want to share the information, how can they get a hold of you? How can they get their kids involved with these great organizations, these great activities and this great organization?
Yep, absolutely. So the best way to find out information on our programs is by visiting our website, which is www.genesieautism.org. In order to become involved, we do ask for parents to complete a membership form, which just essentially just allows us a way to communicate and get in touch with them. And then we also ask for parents to complete a needs assessment. And what that does is allow the parents to share information with us on how autism affects their child, which then in turn allows us to recommend programs based on their developmental needs. And so those are the two steps that people you know, should take to get in touch with us. And then once the you know, once we have that membership information on there, also on our website is our phone number, as well as email address and access to our Facebook accounts and so on.
Great to know. So how did this organization, like, when did it actually come together and start, and who actually started it? Was it the two of you? I mean, was it already in place when you guys met and became part of it? Tell us the history behind that.
It was already in place when I started in 2013, and I can't recall off the top of my head, if Amy, if you were involved or not, but it was in 2005 and was started by a group of core parents and grandparents and caregivers of children with autism. And especially at that time, we know so much more now, but at that time in 2005, it was such a you know, very new, you know, diagnosis, more becoming more prevalent, in terms of, you know, receiving that diagnosis, and parents really, felt lost. There, you know, wasn't a local support group. There wasn't a way for them to connect with others. And so, you know, if you know anything about special needs parents, is that if something's not there, they're going to work hard to make sure that it gets there. And so anything that they can do to help their parent or help their children become, you know, more involved and more integrated into the community, I think was the goal of the group initially. And so we do still have some of those starting folks who were, you know, part of, you know, the history, who are still involved and still bring their, you know, adult, you know, children or adults, you know, people with autism to our events and to some of our programs. So it's nice having that history for sure.
Well, now I don't know the difference between some of these things. Like, I know autism, and my daughter thinks that her daughter has ADD. Now, there's different levels of all of these. Would somebody with ADD be able to come to participate with the autism?
There is. We do require, because some of our grant funding requires us to state that we're serving the ASD population. So we do make our programming available only to those who have an autism diagnosis. Obviously there's two different ways that people can receive a diagnosis prior to being school age. So our younger children would receive what's known as like a medical diagnosis. And that would be through, a psychologist or an autism specialist who has the experience and ability to make that diagnosis. Once kids are school age, it's known as an educational eligibility. And so that would allow them to receive individualized, what's known as an IEP, an individualized education plan. Yeah. And so that is the eligibility for that. And so so that's how parents would become involved in obtaining that diagnosis.
Well, and it sounds like you and Amy are both very, very in tune with your children, and you know what signs to look for and how to get the help that you need. I think there might be some parents out there that don't understand what's going on with their child. They don't know how to diagnose it. What I'm concerned with COVID, a lot of them are doing the Zoom teaching, and there's not a teacher in their room, in their house, to be able to say, I think they need to be tested. So are there any words of suggestions you can give to maybe adults that are homeschooling their children and what they can do if they think there might be some signs that they need to get some extra help and get that help for their kids?
Absolutely. Starting with a pediatrician is usually a good first step. And if you're already in the school system, maybe, start by having a conversation with the teacher of record, because chances are, maybe the teacher has observed some of the, some of the things that are giving you pause as a parent. But because they know more and more, I think that pediatricians are regularly screening now, beginning at a very young age, just looking for those specific markers and specific, hallmark features of the disorder. So that way, we're able to get children in for the treatment earlier. Earlier is always better in terms of intervention. So as soon as you receive that diagnosis, which can be, received as early as age two, we recommend, treatment to begin at that point.
Absolutely. I'm so grateful you guys are in place and doing this, because some things might go undiagnosed. And I know as a single mom of two girls, it can be overwhelming then alone, but then they have some special needs, makes it very difficult. So I just think you guys are doing a great job. Have you guys heard about the Miracle League that's going to be taking place over off Hill Road?
I have heard of that. I think that's wonderful. What a great opportunity to get kids involved in the sport of baseball and varying, abilities. That's tremendous work they're doing.
Right. Whether they're physical or emotionally disabled, they're able to go and play ball like just all the other children and not be judged and just have a great place to go. I don't know if any of your kids might want to take place in that field as well, but things like that, the Miracle League, and you guys with your organization is just, we are so blessed to have you in this community, the Autism Support and Resource Center. Give us a phone number, everybody who's at maybe wanting to call and get more information. Can they call you? Should they go to the website? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Website is usually best, just because we're not in the office, and especially right now, we're just kind of getting back into the swing of things with our COVID restrictions becoming less. The phone number though to reach us is 810-742-5404, or you can also email us at asggc@yahoo.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, now give it up. Who had the dog? I heard the dogs bark in the background. Who was that?
My dog. We had, the Amazon truck, right? Like any good mom, we utilize all our available resources for getting goods into the house. And so I'm so sorry about that. So,
No.
To be fair, I'm surprised that my dog didn't hear Ann's dog, because they're boyfriend and girlfriend, though, So I'm surprised my dog didn't hear Ann's dog and respond. So,
Now they're all excited for a little doggy play date.
Well, yeah. And Jay, don't your dog sit right by your computer as you're also working?
Oh, yes. My dog's sitting right here, actually. And if anybody comes to the door, she sees a bird that flies onto the bush, she will start barking like crazy. So I'm used to that. So that's no big deal.
We were doing great. He was getting a little agitated at the chipmunks that he was seeing running through the shrubs. And I thought, in the clear, he's really on his best behavior. And then it all fell apart when the Amazon.
Of course, when you're trying to talk, of course.
Of course.
Now, Jay, didn't your dog's ears kind of perk up when he heard the other dogs barking?
Yes. But she didn't do anything. She looked up and said, that's not anywhere near here. I'm good.
I need to get involved.
I love it. I love it. Well, that's great, you guys. Thanks. Well, you know, also I was going to say, there are some people at MTA. MTA is wonderful because they hire people with special needs. They hire disabled. They hire so many people. And there's some children with, well, I should say young adults with autism that actually work in the vault because they count the money. They keep it all in the same, going the same way and keep it clean. They're amazing. That's why I say, I don't call it autism. I call it awesomeism because they really do have some awesome personalities, don't they? Just so loving and kind.
Yes, absolutely. And that was really heartwarming to hear when we saw you and Ed at Italia Gardens. I really enjoyed hearing him share about those positive experiences and stories, and they're certainly capable individuals. And it's always our hope and goal at the ASRC is to help them, you know, reach and maximize that potential. So
absolutely. Well, you guys are angels. I'm going to look under your shirts and see if you have wings, because I'm sure that people have to be so grateful to you for helping their families and their loved ones. Is there any last words or anything else you guys would like to let us know about? Any information or programs coming up?
Yeah, we're really grateful for the community for putting trust in us, you know, with their children. You know, one thing too that's, I think, important to mention, we are a nonprofit organization. We don't receive any state or federal funding and rely only on donations from the community. Each year, the folks over at Rock Bottom Stone Supply put on a tremendous golf outing for our organization that really is able to get us financially, you know, really in a position to reach our budget goals. So we're always incredibly grateful to them. We, as an organization, also put on a 5K. Both of those events obviously were canceled in 2020 due to COVID, but we're excited to be bringing the golf outing back for sure. I think in the September timeframe is the dates we have, we're looking at right now. And hopefully that 5K in the spring of 2022 is our goal. So,
I hope so. Well, that's what I was going to ask you too, Anne, is how do you get your funding? I mean, really, when somebody, a family wants to say they have three kids in the family, they want to use the power camp. Is there a cost for that? Do they pay for that? I mean, how does that work for the families?
Yeah, so there we try and keep all of our programs at a minimal cost, and oftentimes they are only paying for what they cost us to operate them, and so then those fundraising dollars that we make throughout the year are what really help us, you know, keep everything in check. We do offer scholarships throughout the year. We have been the beneficiary of several grants that are offered in the community, in addition to quite a substantial grant of almost a year and a half ago now, through the Community Foundation of Greater Flint. So those are, you know, the main sources of funding that allow us to keep our programming costs minimal, as well as offer scholarships for our programs too. So for example, Power Camp, for a week long Monday through Thursday day camp, it's $275 per week. So, you know, affordable, you know, when you consider the entire cost of what it is for a typical camp. So we do, you know, we do try to be mindful that with, you know, with autism and many special needs, there's oftentimes incidental expenses that families have to incur with whatever therapeutic interventions they're doing. And so with that in mind is, you know, kind of how we create our structure for our fees.
With the power camp, do they spend the night or is it a day camp? How does that work?
It's a day camp. Historically, we have had the last night of camp be an overnight, which is just awesome because they get to do a campfire and have evening swim time, and you know, it's just to sleep, you know, somewhere else. It's oftentimes just such an exciting experience for them. This summer, we're not able to offer that overnight due to COVID restrictions, and just wanting to make sure that we are being as safe as we possibly can. And so really trying to limit that indoor time, and obviously doing an overnight would not be conducive to our safety measures and protocols that we like to have in place. So this summer we're taking a year off from it, but next summer we hope to bring that overnight option back for the one night.
Well, I give you both girls a lot of credit for doing that. And I feel your passion and your dedication, and we're just so lucky to have you in this community. So thank you both for all you do.
Thank you. We feel blessed to be in the roles we are in.
All right. Well, you know, whenever we usually end our segments here, we'd like to share something with you guys as well that MTA has, because there's a lot of fun facts about MTA people don't realize. The Salvation Army just gave us an award, which I thought was so very kind of them. During this COVID, when a lot of other transportation companies shut right down because of COVID, MTA stepped up to the plate, mm-hmm. and they delivered water and food and transportation for all in need. And Salvation Army reached out to us and we delivered lunches for them. And so they just gave us the COVID-19 award. It's a hero award to MTA. And I have to say yes, isn't that sweet? I have to say this goes to our drivers because they are dedicated. They are the frontline workers, and they put themselves right out there to get people to the grocery store and to the doctor's appointments and to the pharmacy. So I just had to say thank you to all of our drivers out there. And I wanted to share that with you girls too, that MTA is there for you. And Sundays are always free right now. If you need to get someplace or you have loved ones that need to get to the grocery store or to church, it's free for you. So you can share that word as well. Free on Sundays for anybody who needs it.
That's wonderful to hear. And I know some of our adults utilize MTA services to get to our socials and our life skills classes. So we're grateful for all that you offer to the community, and especially the special needs community, because transportation sure is a huge barrier for so many. We know, many of our young adults are certainly capable of being in the workforce, and if it weren't for, the services of MTA and your ride, they would really not have an opportunity to, get to places of employment or various appointments. So very grateful for what you do as well.
Aw, well, that's so nice to hear. I know we're always hiring too. They're hiring drivers right now. So if you guys know of anybody, maybe retired people or great veterans, or even, college students looking for a job to drive, it's a pretty good job. And they're offering a little extra pay right now with the hero pay. And you get your birthday paid off, which is really nice. I think that's the best. And they can work the hours they want. So if you have any maybe young adults in the house or seniors that you know of, it might be a good job for them.
Oh, that's wonderful. I have to keep my eyes out for people.
Sounds good. Who knows? They might be picking you up one day to take you someplace. So we got to keep them out there. Well, all right, Jay. Well, and Amy, thank you so very much. And we're going to close this segment by saying thank you for being there in the community. There's so many wonderful things. If you want to learn more about it, listen each week to On the Road with MTA and Stephanie Kay as we bring you all the information that we have to share. Always nice, always interesting, and sometimes free services. So thanks for listening, and please do stay safe.
You've been listening to On the Road with the MTA. For more information on our services and community outreach, visit us online anytime at www.mtaflint.org. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The MTA, your community, your connection, your way.